always supporting local MMA. You're listening to MMAMadhouse.com live. MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Draco Impact Armor, Hyped Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and Jax Media.
And we cannot forget to add to that some wonderful other new sponsors we have. Bushido, you guys check them out. Killer Fight Gear, everything you can want. AOL MMA out of Florida. Also, Auto Valley Auctions down in Florida. And All Out Fight Shop. And actually, we'll have a brand new opening, all like one beautiful set coming up really soon. I can't wait. Let's quit screwing around. Let me get my partner in here who always causes the most trouble.
Select. Check out this selection right here.
Where you from?
Critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls me nothing except for your mother. She's hurt your monkey ass.
What's up, Mr. Lafaki?
What's going on, man? Got a big show tonight.
Oh, yes, we do. I'm super excited because we're going to start this first hour off. We're actually going to pair it up tonight. We're going to have a great, great guy. If you guys can read his story.
You need to talk in your mic, bro.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that a little better?
Yeah, sometimes you like to... You know, I see you here. You're like reclined back, like you're laying down in bed, getting ready to pass out. I understand you're comfortable and all, but man, at least sit up, bro. At least sit up.
Is that better for you? Let me clear now.
That's a little bit better, yeah. I think the people appreciate it. It's not for me, Skip.
Well,
it's
Well, the people definitely, I agree, but you got to be able to hear me for us to be able to do this show. And as I was saying, not only do we have the amazing Houston Stout on tonight, but we're going to have the media director from Rage in the Cage, Oklahoma City, Miss Kimberly Schaefer. And then the second hour, we kick back and talk with one of our favorite friends and fighters, and that's Courtney Casey. That's going to be a great show tonight.
Yeah, you're. Courtney ready to get back in the cage, man. She's antsy. She's feeling it.
It's going to be a great conversation. You know, anybody who listens to us regularly, you guys have heard her on here multiple times, and definitely multiple times on the Madhouse Network. So super excited to have her back on to catch up with her. You know, oh, God, today's just killing me, bro. And, like, I'm using a different mic setup. My new mic setup's not here yet.
Yeah, we can tell, bro. We can tell.
Yeah, it's just been like, it's been one of those days.
Hey, dude, you know, you're like sitting here going, oh, today was so bad. And it's like, you know, you only got like 5 hours left, dude. The day's over. Me, on the other hand, I'm staring down the barrel of my year-end review and like my rebudgeting for 2014 in the morning. So, I mean, you know, I can't say that I feel sorry for you right now, buddy.
Well, you know what? Don't feel sorry for me. I'm just bitching, you know. My lovely wife got me some great new equipment to upgrade the studio and like all kinds of stuff, and I'm just having trouble getting it all connected correctly and working, you know, and intertwining all the new stuff with the old stuff. And it's just been a frustrating day, but you know what? I'm pumped for tomorrow. You know why? Our boy, Rare Naked Smoke from RareNakedSmoke.net, folks. He's going to be dropping down in Oregon tomorrow. We're going to get to kick back with him. I'm hoping that
if he makes it.
Yeah, folks, if you guys don't know out there, he is practicing his role in the new Dukes of Hazzard movie in a Geo Metro. But he's surviving. I'm definitely excited to have him here live in the studio for the Rogue Show Friday night. That'll be really cool.
Yeah, man. Be cool, yo.
Folks, there's a lot going on this week. I tell you what,
dude,
I'm super...
That is the truth, man. But you know what? I want to let you know, man, that I share a birthday with Magnus Seidenblad.
Okay, that's pretty
cool.
And in
honor of that information, I'm going to find out who you share a birthday with, Skippy Cohen.
Oh, you don't have to do all that. Me and my high school chum, Mr. Abe Lincoln, we were born on the same day.
Well, that's interesting, man. I also share a birthday with the sensei, Steven Seagal. And
okay,
John Madden. And John Madden. That's an endgame. That's an endgame play right there.
Oh, yeah? What did you Google? Like, your birthday and just...
No, dude, it's the new feature over on Tapology. They've got a, they have all the fighters listed by their birthday.
Oh, where do I find this? Under the forums, rankings, Fight Center?
Well, see, the other day they had the link was just right on the side. Now you got to try and track this down. There's a thread about it.
Oh, that's kind of cool, man. Folks, you shoot over there to Tapology. If you haven't signed up, definitely sign up, man. It's a great, great deal. You learn a lot and pick a lot.
Yeah, the new BLC league is kicking off. I just got drafted by Susulu's team. So I will be picking a lot more fights again here in the next few weeks, having to ramp up my picks. I'm looking for my third championship on Tapology, man, in the picker leagues.
Oh, now, is that a predetermined matches, or is how are they going to fill in the fight card, you know, that you guys pick from?
Well, we predetermine the events. So you'll know, like, you pick the, you determine which organizations you're going to use, and then the season normally runs about 12 weeks, and so over the course of those 12 weeks, you'll pick anywhere from 3 to 6 events a weekend, and they're all, you know, listed on Tapology, so you can research them all right there and everything.
Oh, that's pretty cool, man. Yeah, I like it. I mean, I'm not near the belt you are, but I'm getting there. I got a 2 weeks ago, I got my next stripe, so I was happy. I tell you what. I noticed that you get a lot of love on your ranking if you post them in those forums a lot, too, not just picking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a third-degree orange belt, buddy. I'm coming after you.
Yeah, man, you got a long ways to go, bro. And I'm like, and dude, like, I was on pace to be, like, the 6th coral belt on Tapology. But, man, when I started this new job, it dropped me down to the 28th coral belt on Tapology.
Hey, that's still not bad.
Dude, what is going on with this Zen Rhino bozo? I thought this guy was gone.
Oh, I did too. On Friday night, I'm going to have a nice little conversation about all that. You know, dude, Kelly, she's definitely, she got involved now. I don't even know how, but she, you know, basically he's saying I stole some ideas or work or something. I couldn't even understand it all, man. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about, dude. And I told him, man up, come out on the show Friday night, sit down and tell me what I did wrong. Man up, I'll sit there, you know, you guys know, you guys call my bullshit if it's bullshit. So,
what is he saying that you stole?
That's what I don't understand. I don't know. He's just telling everybody that I stole from him.
but nobody can seem to tell me what I stole.
Well, you know, I'm the one that named his article that he used to write. I'm the one that kind of gave him the idea for it. So I don't really know what the fuck he's talking about.
I don't either, man. I really don't. at all. But either way, Houston, man. Killer fighter. You guys definitely go over there and check out
his
story.
Dude, this guy's a fucking savage, bro.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm excited to talk to him, man. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
man. Talk about to hell and back, huh?
You know, I'm betting with...
I mean, is that kind of the safest way to describe it, you think?
Oh, I would agree with that 100%. And I think that's maybe even being nice about it, you know. I mean, he's got to feel almost comfortable when he walks into a cage after living the life he's led. He's got to feel almost like relief, you know, like this is nothing. You know, and I mean, I guess what, 2009-ish, maybe 2008, right around there, he started getting into the amateur, and now he's a pro. And I mean, you know, he might not have a record that everybody out there would write home about, but he fights, he comes, he's ready, and he's using MMA to enhance his life, you know, both inside and outside the cage. So he's got a phenomenal story, folks. You guys are going to dig it. And we're probably about 5 minutes out from them joining us. So that will
yeah. Dude, here. So this is going to sound really funny to a lot of people. But there's a UFC fight that I've kind of wanted to see for a long time, and the fact that it's actually been made now with Sam Stout and KJ Nunes, that is like one of the most intriguing fights to me, because if these guys stand on their feet and just box for 15 minutes, wow. I mean, these are arguably two of the best boxing 155ers in the UFC, in the lightweight division around the world in MMA.
Now, you know, I can't disagree with that. I think this is going to be – I think both these guys are truly not going to worry about going to the ground. I think they're going to try their very best to prove who has the better striking. And we could see technically just a beautiful fight. Now, granted, you might have some fans out there who might not be as enthralled by what we're going to see in a stand-up fight, because it's not going to be just for some – you know, wing-em haymaker, I hope I catch you on the chin fight. These guys are technically sound.
Yeah, dude. I think it's rad.
Yeah, it's a good fight for sure. It's definitely. Oh. So,
dude, so what fight are you looking for? Hey, dude, what do you think about, you know, that Friday night is Legacy?
Yes. And I will tell you what, you guys know, anybody who listens to this show knows, I've always been a fan of and always will be a fan of Arnetus Young. So he's fighting Tim Means. I believe it is the main event. It'll be at 155, folks. It's going to be I think that's going to be a great fight. I like it. I don't know how excited I am to see Henry fight, brother. I mean...
Does he show up this time?
Oh, dude, he doesn't show up.
That's my question.
He's done. He doesn't show up, he's done. He'll never fight again on a major card. Nobody will give him a chance. I just don't see him. Dude, he's dropping so, so low.
125? I don't think he's that low. Sorry, he wrestled at 123.
So then why is he having such a problem the last two times getting into the weight class?
That I can't answer. I'm just waiting for him to start fighting somebody that's not 1-11.
Yeah. He is fighting.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that he's
Garcia.
Got, you know, I see him on all these, like, prospect lists. Oh, top prospect. But really, man, if you're fighting 1-11 guys, you're not a top prospect in my world.
Yeah. Hey, let's see who we got here real quick.
I mean, you're a ton of potential, but, you know, potentially paying my bills. What? Where did you go, man?
Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry. I was checking the line. Guess what? The party has now gotten bigger.
I'd like to start off by welcoming Houston Stout to the show. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, man,
doing awesome.
I wish you could see how Skippy spelled your name on our board right now.
I just typed it in real fast.
This guy, Houston, this guy is from the city of Houston. All I hear about is the Astros and Kim Caminiti 9 days out of 10. And he can't spell Houston. He's got H-O-S-T-O-U-I-N.
Dude, I just typed it up. Don't even. Look, we shortcut it because I don't have to worry. This isn't something most people will ever see. I know you said Kimber's with you, right?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Hello.
Hi, Ms. Schaefer. Welcome to Madhouse Live. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having us on.
Can you come on more often? Because he's never that polite. I don't know what just happened to him.
I
wish the listeners could call in right now because they would tell you guys. I'm not making this up.
Well, this tonight, folks, we're going to spend the next 45 minutes to an hour roughly talking about Rage in the Cage, Oklahoma City, and Houston Stout. And you, I started working with you a couple months ago, and I got to tell you, I love what you write. You do some great interviews and some great fighter bios, and I'm very happy that you brought us on board to help promote your events and the fighters there. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you so much as well. That's very kind of you to say. Very much appreciated.
Now, let me start with, are you guys sharing one phone? You guys are on speaker. How's it working?
We are on three-way.
Oh, okay. So I can talk to both of you at the same time. That's great.
Yes.
I want to start with Houston. Houston, you got an amazing story, brother. We've talked about this from day one when we read this over and over on multiple shows. We've been waiting for this day. For the fans out there, do you want to give them kind of a little bit of a bio, a little background about yourself and your story?
Sure. It's a long-winded one, so bear with me. But started out kidnapped at the age of 4 years old. My dad, was on the run from the law, so he took me, and we circled the globe, so to speak, or at least most of America and Mexico, and just had a life on the run until I was about 16 or so, and then left home and been living ever since. So.
How hard was that decision to make at 16, Houston?
I tell you the truth. The option of staying home was not that good of one, so it wasn't that hard of a decision. I started counting that down since I was about 9 years old, waiting for the day I could leave home.
Now, obviously, your childhood was a childhood nobody should ever have to face, but you made it out. You found a way into MMA. Can we, give us, and the fans especially who maybe have never met you or heard your story, what was it? When did you get introduced into the, the aspect of combat sports?
Well, when I was 16, I lived with these guys, and I think there was five, six of us total in a little three-bedroom apartment in Nashville, Tennessee. And one of them had a friend that had a boxing gym, and I was, like most teenage kids that had left home early, I was a little angry at the world, and I wasn't a violent person. I wasn't looking to hurt anybody, but I just wanted to get out the frustration, and I got into boxing. And so that's, where my combat sports started, was in boxing. I trained at this little small gym in Nashville, Tennessee. And then about a year later, I saw my first, it was just a pay-per-view commercial for upcoming Pride, I believe. And I saw Kevin Randleman, and they were showing the highlights of his fight. I just thought, my God, I want to do that.
Now, you know, you get into this and you start to grow into it. I know you made, you know, some comments in your story about your first fight. I believe you drove from, like, Oklahoma to Cincinnati?
Yes, I did. it was a long drive. They didn't have amateur fighting in Oklahoma at the time, and so I didn't want to go straight pro, so I got on Google and typed in Fighters Wanted, and first thing that popped up was a guy in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Now, you drive out there, and it didn't go the way it should have gone, correct? You ended up with a different fighter altogether in a different weight class, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. I was supposed to fight at 155 pounds, and I walked in at just natural weight at 153. And I get there, and the promoter says, man, I didn't even think you were going to be here. He goes, I didn't think somebody would really drive all the way from Oklahoma. He goes, so, you know, your fighter's not here, but we got this other guy. His fighter didn't show up, and he was they were doing a catch weight at 165. And so I wound up fighting that guy.
And, you know, the fight, after it's all said and done, you know, how did you feel driving back? Was it you felt like you'd made the right decision?
Oh, I felt on top of the world, just to be honest. You know, I never got any kind of a rush boxing. I boxed, but it just felt like sparring or, you know, just kind of playing around. Even when I was in there with some killers, I never felt scared or no real feelings of like this is a real-life combat situation. And, man, I'll never forget when they closed they locked that pin on the cage door for that first fight. It just felt like an animal rush almost, you know. It was just crazy. And, you know, and I didn't win the fight. I lost. But I was proud of myself and how I handled the fight and how the things that I did in the fight. And I felt confident in myself, so I felt pretty good about it.
Do you feel like maybe today getting in the cage is your quote-unquote kind of zen time where nothing matters? You can just do what you do and fight in that fight?
Yeah. You know, it just I say every time that I'm not fighting my opponent. You know, I'm just fighting myself. I'm not there to beat my opponent. I'm there to improve myself and be better than I was the time before. And it's just, for me, it's just kind of a
You're saying it's just kind of a...
Oh, yeah, for me, it's just, it is, you know, I don't know if it's therapeutic or how you want to describe it, but it's definitely just a, it's, you know, I guess it would be therapeutic.
Now, Miss Kimber, I got to ask you, you know, you've got a guy like this with this great story, you know, obviously you look at his record and some people might be like, oh, well, he doesn't have a winning record, and go right past him. What was it that made you guys, you know, take a serious look and get him and promote him the way you guys did?
You know, Houston, it was kind of weird. I started working in Rage in the Cage. You know, I worked in the television news industry for many years, and I had just sent out an email to a few of the fighters and just said, listen, I'm, you know, going to promote some fighters. If you would like your story told, message me back. And I waited probably 3 or 4 hours, and I checked my email, and Houston was the only one that had messaged me back at that point. Now, once I did Houston's story, I began to get a lot of these emails, you know, of people wanting their story told. But, you know, he was just the first one that messaged me back, and it was kind of weird the first time I called him. And I wrote this in the story that you read, but I call him up, and it turned out that his wife was in labor with their first little girl together. And, you know, he was so polite and just told me, you know, that, you know, his wife is in labor. So we ended up doing the interview later. But once I heard his story, you know, I also had a little bit of a rough childhood as well. And so I don't know. I just there's just something about Houston that I just wanted to promote him and help his career in that way.
Now
he's got an amazing story.
Oh, he does. And as the media director, you had, you know, first of all, you had a great card, but you had a bunch of fighters to pick from, and you did do quite a few stories. You know, obviously having to promote and take care of that side of the business and make sure, you know, sponsors are getting taken care of with their, you know, the promotional aspect of it. How much did you enjoy stepping away from that to do these interviews?
This is the stuff that I really live for. I love telling people stories. And I enjoy, you know, at the end of the day when a fighter can come to me and tell me that, you know, that it helped them in some way. Like on our last card, one of the fighters was able to get several sponsors because his story was told and published in some of our local newspapers. So to me, this is what it's all about. I enjoy writing the personal stories. The other stuff I enjoy too, but this is just, to me, is my calling, I think.
Well, you know, you do a great... Go ahead.
I was going to say, the thing about Houston's story that stuck out the most to me and really just touched me was the fact that, you know, he never once spent a day in school. Mm. I mean, I just can't fathom that. He's such an intelligent person, and to have never been able to, you know, have those experiences of being in school with other kids your age and to teach yourself everything you know and to come out such the awesome person that he is. I mean, to me, it's just a miracle, and I just knew that his story needed to be told.
Well, I think one of the things that his outgoing personality is kind of what surprises me, not having that high level of social action, you know, throughout his youth. You know, you would typically expect somebody like that to come out and be very introverted and quiet, but I kind of feel like Houston has a great personality and he's outgoing and everybody kind of wants to gravitate towards him.
Yeah, I definitely agree to that. I mean, just in the short time I've known Houston, I really do consider him a friend, and he's very easy to talk to and just very witty. And I've always enjoyed interviewing him, and I know that there's more to that story to be told, so I look forward to a part two of Houston's story.
Well, maybe something we could touch on for that story. Houston, I'm curious, you've had a decent amateur career and a decent pro career in the amount of fights. You got a favorite fight out of all those?
Favorite fight would probably have to be my first one. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Just you know, even though it was a loss, it was just the experience of it, and some of the things that happened after the fight were crazy, and you know, how I, one of the things that, you know, guy got me in a guillotine choke, you know, probably 15 seconds into the fight, you know, and I thought to myself, you know, there's no way, I'm going to fight my way out of this, and, you know, the guy basically choked me to the point of going unconscious. I couldn't see or hear anything. As completely, my body was shutting down around me. And, you know, at that moment, I thought, man, it's do or die right now. And, you know, I popped my head out of the choke. And, of course, I got armbarred about 10 seconds later because I was, you know, basically unconscious. But just, you know, that feeling of, you know, accomplishment of fighting out of something that was so severe, you know, it's probably definitely one of my crowning achievements is personal.
Hey, that's great. Now, are you getting to hit any tournaments outside of the MMA game? Are you doing any, like, jits tournaments or maybe some Thai fighting or, you know, boxing?
Yeah, I haven't done any jiu-jitsu tournaments personally. I've forayed into kickboxing a few times, and that's kind of my main style. You know, I'm not really a super talented ground fighter per se. I do good enough to get back to my feet most of the time, but I like to stand and strike. You know, I feel like that's where I just feel naturally comfortable standing and striking. So I've had 9 amateur boxing fights and 3 amateur kickboxing fights.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of the kickboxing?
I loved it. I loved it. The only reason I probably haven't pursued that more is just because I just don't get that same feeling that I get when I step into a cage, you know. It seems limited somehow, you know. Not saying that it's not an amazing art form. It's my passion. It's what I love to do, but in a cage.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense, you know. I mean, the possibilities are endless in an MMA fight, and if you're boxing or kickboxing, it's really, you know, you have that one avenue to walk down.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I don't fear, you know, I can throw any kick I want and not have to worry about getting taken down, but that's kind of part of the rush, you know, the challenge of it, trying to outsmart, you know. If you know you're fighting a wrestler, you know everything you do, he's going to be trying to shoot in on you, you know, so trying to implement my game plan, you know, while thwarting his.
Now, looking at obviously getting this opportunity to fight for this organization, we have Kimber on. Are we going to possibly see him on the next card?
I hope so. We are putting together our March and April cards right now. And I'm hoping that we'll see Houston pretty soon again. He fought on our October Rage in the Cage card, October 2013, and I think that's the last time we've seen Houston at Rage in the Cage. So hopefully he will be on another one soon.
Cool. That'd be great. You just mentioned you're working on the next card. Do you guys have dates locked down for the next event?
I know we're doing one in March. I don't know the for sure date on the March card. I do know that Bill Albright and Wayne Cole are going to be our main event. And then,
wow, that's a good fight.
I think it's going to be good. And then Jason Anderson and Tim Papp are going to be the semi-main event. In April, we're doing a show on April 19th, and it's going to be at the Oklahoma City Farmers Market. And, of course, April 19th is the anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing, so it's going to be a tribute show to those that were injured or killed in the Oklahoma City bombing.
Wow, sweet. I'm curious, your last card, I don't want to say, was it January 10th or 11th?
10th? It was
January 10th, Yeah, it was 10th. How good did Lamont look in that fight?
You know, if you blinked, you missed it. 9 seconds knockout. I mean, it was, you know, the weird thing about that is Lamont had, I'd interviewed him several times leading up to that fight, and, you know, he told me every time, Kimber, I'm going to guarantee you. And he's like, quote me on this. I'm going to have a knockout within the first minute and a half. So when it was in 9 seconds, I mean, my jaw literally dropped. And I was like, oh, my gosh, he was not kidding. So, yeah, it was one of the best fights I've ever seen. It was just kind of just the fact that he was just so sure of that. Going in.
If I may interject. I'm sorry.
Go for it.
Yeah,
no,
Houston
go ahead,
was
bro.
At that fight. Yeah, Houston was at this fight as well, so let's get his take on it.
Well, just in the past, I've known Lamont for quite a while, and I've had the pleasure of, you know, sparring with him, or I don't really know that I'd call it a pleasure per se, but the guy has probably, if he uses kickboxing game more, he's probably got the most lethal legs I've ever seen on anybody. I've held mitts for, of course, there's a guy here out of the Tulsa area that's David Taylor, fought for the WCL, World Combat League, which was a kickboxing-only, you know, venue.
Yeah.
And he, you know, that guy was an amazing kickboxer. But he didn't have anything on what Lamont has, just raw, natural power. I mean, that guy can put you to sleep if he misses, you know. And so watching that knee come up, when I saw it coming up, I thought, that's it right there. It's over.
Houston, are you in Tulsa training?
Oklahoma City area.
Okay. Do you ever make it up to, like, train with Mikey or Dale Cook and them or Thomas Longacre up in Tulsa? Or?
You know, I know all the guys up in that area. I fought on Dale Cook's show. In fact, I fought at the time he had the guy that was ranked 81st in the world, had his belt in my third pro fight. I fought him for the XFL belt for Dale Cook. Didn't go my way, but...
Yeah, didn't you blow out your shoulder in that fight?
Yeah, that was the beginning of my run of bad luck. I tore my rotator cuff, my right rotator cuff, in the probably first 10 seconds of the second round, and went on to fighting for, you know, on into the third, but ultimately... It's hard to beat a guy ranked 81st in the world with one arm.
You certainly tried. You put up a good fight anyway.
Yeah, I felt pretty good about it. Even one arm, you know, I think his previous three or four fights before that, he had knocked out everybody that he fought in the first or second round, and he continued that streak even after, I think, his next two fights after me. He knocked out his opponent in the first round. I thought, well, dang, I went two rounds with him one arm, so I guess I did something right.
Now, you know, when you're not fighting, you know, so fans out there can maybe get to know you a little bit better, what do you do for fun? You know, like if we were to drop in on a Friday night and say, Houston, let's go do something, what would we be going doing?
Man, you know, usually, I tell you the truth, I'm just kind of a homebody. Of course, I've got my beautiful fiance and a baby girl at the moment, and I try to spend as much time as I can, you know, with them, cherish every moment. And, you know, we go to the movies and that kind of thing, but, I mean, we don't. That's about it, really.
No hunting or fishing or anything?
No. I like to, you know, I moved to Albuquerque to train with the guys out there at Fit NHB and, you know, loved the ski slopes, went snowboarding. Me and my fiance just got back earlier this year from, we hiked the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. So, you know, I love enjoying nature, but it's kind of hard to sometimes.
Oh, yeah. No, we live in the nature capital of the world, I swear. I mean, I live out in Oregon. It's just mountains, rivers, beautiful.
Yes, yes. I used to live in Portland and then in Salem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Houston's lived about everywhere, haven't you, Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah, then
I've
been around.
That's
time
true.
Where was the favorite place you ever did get to live?
Oh, man, believe it or not, I would either have to say it's a tie between Oregon or Florida. Those are my two favorite places. I love the mountains and the, you know, of course, in southern Oregon, northern California, you got the redwoods. The coast is just amazing over there, I think. I don't know, it's, you know, it's more, seems more romantic somehow. It's always a little overcast and a little cloudy, and I don't know, I just think it's kind of got a more romantic mystique about it. And then, of course, Florida is just, you know, fun in the sun type thing.
Isn't it funny how it's the coast in Oregon, but it's the beach in Florida?
How come it's true, man.
I don't know why it is, because people go to the coast in Oregon, and you go to the beach where it's sunny, man.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Oh, man, now, you know, you're talking about, you know, having a young one. Are you going to let her do some jiu-jitsu or some, you know, combat, like, training as she gets older if she wants to?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Me and my fiance have already planned on putting her in dance and taekwondo.
All right, taekwondo is a good sport.
You know, get her,
Dude, that could be dangerous if she, like, learned how to do, like, that could lead right into capoeira.
That's
yeah.
kind of, you know, I think it's a great, I think Taekwondo is a great starter for him. You know, in the MMA community, it's oftentimes so overlooked and discounted as just, you know, a flung-poo, fake, made-up type martial art. But I believe, you know, some of the kicks that I do that have, you know, served me so well in the past, I learned straight from watching Taekwondo people. So I think it's a great form.
I can't disagree with that. You know, we watch a lot of combat sports, whether it's singleized or it's a mixed martial art. We see a lot of kids that are super talented that, you know, come out of, you know, a straight karate background or Taekwondo or judo, you know. So, I mean, we see it all the time when people come out of wrestling as singleized based, you know. There's no reason why somebody who's proficient in another combat sport can't come out the same way.
Exactly.
Well, Sergio Pettis is leading the charge. You know, if you're a zombie, everybody would be like, oh. Sergio Pettis, Taekwondo. Anthony Pettis, Taekwondo. Oh, that's it. That's all they know.
Okay, now we asked you your favorite place that you've ever lived. I want to ask you if, for some, you know, crazy reason, Kimber called you up tomorrow and said, pick any city in the world. We're paying for you to fight there on a Rage in the Cage card. What city are you picking?
What city would I pick? Man, that's a tough question. I tell you, I probably want to go to Sydney, Australia.
Good one. I like
be careful that. In Sydney because the cage is still banned there.
Yep.
Yeah. You have to fight.
As long as Rage in the Cage pays for me to go as well, I'm there.
You're right. Something that, you know, we ask a lot of fighters, you'd be surprised. I mean, so many fighters out there, you know, name exotic locations, but who was it we had recently that said his hometown because they've never been able to have
Kurt fight? Kurt Southern.
Yep. Yeah. Because MMA's banned where
he's had, like,
lives.
25 fights. Yeah, he's had, like, 25 fights and never got to fight in his hometown. Like, between his pro and amateur career.
Wow.
That's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so he's never been a home guy. He's always been the, you know, quote-unquote visitor.
Right.
The bad guy. Chop one up for the bad guy.
Now, obviously, with, you know, everything that you've been able to go through in your life and learn how to live, you know, a completely different lifestyle, when you do come into these arenas and these people are looking at you as the bad guy or the visitor, does that ever get to you? Do you enjoy it? Do you use it?
You know, to tell you the truth, I'm probably the most calm. I don't have a nothing affects me as far as the crowd, or I don't get hyped up by the crowd. I don't get discouraged by the crowd. You know, I stay pretty focused on what I'm there to do. I'm not a naturally excitable guy. It's pretty hard to get me, you know, to get me to go crazy or to do, you know, anything. So
now, with Kimber, with your events, I'm curious, with the walkouts, do you allow the guys to kind of get a little crazy on their walkouts, you know, and kind of flare them up like the old school days of K-1 or Pride?
You know, they pretty much have free will to do, you know, whatever they want as far as that, as long as it's within taste. But, you know, most of the guys just pretty tame, pretty normal, nothing too crazy.
I'm looking forward to the day where somebody comes out and they have, like, six guys carrying them in a coffin. And then when they get to the cage, they, like, lower the front and stand it up, and then you walk out. I think that would be a wicked awesome entrance.
Giving somebody a great idea.
I'm just thinking, you know, as a fighter, if I saw somebody doing that, I'd be going, yeah, and you're leaving in that thing here in a minute, too.
Now, see, I'd like to come in like the old boxing guy, the like the
Prince of Persia or something. I can't remember his name. He came in on the, like, the chariot.
Came
on top. Yes, with like 7-8 guys on each side carrying him on that big chair, raised like 14 foot up in the air. That's how I'd want to come in. That would be cool.
That would be pretty awesome.
Now, I got to tell you, Melvin Manhoff, when he fought mid last year, early last year, had one of the greatest. He come out to like a full on like orchestra, like waltz. Oh man, it was crazy. And then all of a sudden, he just turned to like crazy music, and he comes running down, and obviously he won. But yeah, he had one of the cooler walkouts I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I need to work on my showmanship a little bit. I'm a little flareless. I just kind of walk out and get in the cage, and that's about it, really.
Do your business.
You should get like one of those big rubber chicken heads and walk out, like cock of the walk kind of thing, you know?
I have to try that next time. Come out to Barbie Girl.
Now, that's something you could do, is really just blow everybody away by playing just the completely wrong kind of music for your walkout.
Like, come out to, like, The Wind Beneath My Wings or something. And, like, just point at your opponent. Like, the whole time you're walking out, just point at him and be like, you're the wind beneath my wings.
Here's
the reason I'm here tonight.
Oh man!
Houston,
man.
Do you have any like fight day rituals that you always do like every time? Like, do you like to hang out with everybody, or you kind of just like chill out and want to kind of be by yourself at the hotel and find the zone and then go from there? What's fight day like for you?
You know, fight day for me is because I'm a weight cutter. You know, for my second pro fight ever, I cut 38 pounds. I cut from 183 to 145 for that fight. And most of my day, most of my night before that and most of the day is spent every couple hours drinking and eating. So I stay pretty active doing that up till basically right about the time it's time to, you know, go to the venue and get ready. Other than that, I mean, I always invite my friends out or whoever, you know, other fighters and stuff to go eat with me and that type of thing. Or so, yeah, I'm not too much of a loner, you know. I'm not too much of like a, you know, have everybody. I don't like big entourages either. Usually just a couple people. But, usually around lunchtime, almost every day, right before the fight, I usually get some people together and do some kind of sparring or rolling or something like that. In fact, the picture that Kimber posted on the on that article she wrote about me was me in a parking lot of a hotel kickboxing with another fighter about noon right before the fight. So
what do you this is a pretty question I'm pulling from back in the day on Madhouse, but do you prefer to drop the deuce before you get to the arena at the hotel, or do you wait till you're in the locker room?
You know, honestly, and because of the drastic weight cut that I do, I usually don't have to do it until after the fight.
Oh, so you go into the fight with a loaded gun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know. It's good to have something in there in case somebody tries to give me the rear naked poke.
Now, speaking of fight day and all that, after the fights are over, because obviously between weigh-ins and fights you want to stay somewhat healthy still, but fight night's over, what do you like to eat? You got a go-to, like a staple you like?
IHOP.
Like,
you're not a Rudy Tootie Fresh and Fruity guy, are you?
No, I usually wind up getting their T-bone steak and eggs.
Ah, good call. You get pancakes with that?
Of course, man.
Right. Right on. Got to make sure you got to do it right.
I'm surprised that the guy in Oklahoma didn't say Waffle House, man.
Man, I love Waffle Houses. They're awesome.
Yeah, I've been to one of those years, though.
Man, there, I think I only ate at Waffle House between the hours of like 1 a.m. and 5 a.m.
That's the best time.
That's the best time.
There you go, Houston. That's a good sponsor to go after. Get Waffle House as a sponsor.
I think I'd have to start fighting a heavyweight if I did.
yeah.
Oh, you can eat Waffle House.
Dude, I would have my walkout shirt say smothered, covered in junk. You know? we've got a few minutes left before we wrap up, so I want each one of you guys to be able to have some time, and we'll start with you, Houston. Anybody you want to thank, any shout-outs, sponsors, social media information so fans around the world can follow you, please take your time.
For one, I'd love to thank Kimber here for all the work she's put in. Rage in the Cage has been an awesome promotion to work with. You know, they really take care of their fighters, and I really appreciate everything that they've put in. You guys for allowing us to, come out here and talk. I probably have to go with my manager, longtime manager, about 6 years now, Larry Schrock. Man, me and him go way back. I lived on his couch for about 7 months. He let me, come in and move in his house and took me in and, got me where I'm at in the sport. Wouldn't be here without him. Of course, I have to thank my fiance, Tachi, for all the support. There were times when things were pretty rough, but she backed me and supported me 100% of the way. I don't think I'd be where I'm at either without her. So I thank her. And then just everybody in the MMA community that I've had the pleasure of meeting, it is a brotherhood. Everybody supports everybody. Everybody in the Oklahoma community for sure. That's about it for me.
When was the last time either of you ate at Del Rancho?
Oh, goodness. It's probably not been maybe 6-7 months that I've been to Del Rancho's. You got to have their chicken fried steak.
Yeah, the chicken fried steak sandwich with some American cheese on top of that sucker is amazing.
Yum.
I've never been.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man.
Houston.
Kimber,
you don't know what you're missing.
Greatness. Let him experience the greatness.
Well, there's another restaurant. It's similar to Del Rancho, but it's a locally owned one. It's called Chuck House. And I'm not kidding you when I say I was raised at Chuck House. I mean, we went there at least once a week, and you'll just have to check it out sometime, Houston. It's like at 10th and Meridian in Oklahoma City. So it's really good.
Maybe be careful down there, too.
Yeah.
I've worked a few shifts in Oklahoma City. I know what's going on down there at 10th and Meridian.
I live right by there right now.
Oh, that's right.
Well, Ms. Kimber, would you like to take a run? Any information for fans to be able to follow you guys and, the different social media aspects or any sponsors or any information, please?
Just like us on Facebook, and we put all of our new information and all of the new fighter interviews. We're just getting into a lot of new media stuff, and so I'm just really appreciative of our Oklahoma City media that's been supportive of Rage in the Cage. And, I mean, it's an organization that's really been around 14 years. Rage in the Cage was one of the first, if not the first, promotion in Oklahoma to give local fighters a place to showcase, to showcase their talents and to be able to grow as MMA fighters. So I'm just appreciative of Mike Crawford, who started Rage in the Cage and has given us all this opportunity.
Well, I love the product you guys are putting out. I'm very glad that, we're starting to work together and we can get you and your stories for your fighters and out on our website, as well as having some of the guys on the show here and there where we have spots that, So I look forward to working with you guys for a long time. And Houston, I want to tell you,
you know, as a, not just a media guy, but as a fan, it's truly been a pleasure and an honor to meet you and talk with you tonight.
Thank you. Pleasure is all mine.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you guys so much.
Oh, this is,
thank
you know,
you guys.
This is exactly what we're all about is, you know, trying to, you know, find regional, you know, talent and showcase it to the fans around there. Like Lapakin said earlier, I mean, the Zufa Zombies might not know who you are, but our fans do.
Yeah, we've been looking forward to this since you guys dropped that article. Me and Skippy have been talking about having you guys on, and, you know, we just really appreciate it.
Oh, man, I can't thank you guys enough for having us on.
Well,
get something on the books, man, so you can get back on here. Get this guy a fight. Somebody. I know there's promoters listening. Quit being lazy.
Come on, come on, Brace from Australia. Step up. Fly the guy out.
Yeah, where's the where's Adam
Malkovich?
And fly
the media director out, too.
Right?
Well,
you know.
Hold on. There's a line, and you're going to be second in it behind me for right now, Kimber.
Oh, goodness gracious. Always a line.
I've seen this guy tell fighters' wives, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to be third because I got to step in. So it's not just you. Don't worry. He tells everybody that. Anytime a strip comes up, he's going.
Probably why I'm single.
I want to thank both of you guys again, and we'll let you guys get on about your evening because I know it's getting a little later where you're at. And for all the folks that are listening, we're going to play some commercials, and then we'll be back in the second hour with Miss Courtney Casey. Thank you guys once again.
Thank you.
Okay, let's play a bill. And I'm in the mood for some Drackle Impact Sports, if I can find it, because it's all messed up. Here we go, folks.
Confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world.
You told me that you wanted to go. That's just what I did, I let you go. Now I can't seem to get you off my phone. Girl, I wish you would leave me alone. But I did not plan to go. Now I can't seem to get you off my phone. Dude, I wish you would leave me alone. Go!
Just space. Just give me just space. All I need is space. Just space. Just give me just space. All I need is space.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Back. Hour number two of MMA Madhouse Live, number 179. Wow. I've done 153 shows now.
How many?
Of Madhouse, I've done 153.
See, I think I'm at 113.
Yeah, but I mean, between the two of us, we did like 600 last year. So, you know.
Jeez, I think we did more than that, dude.
Yeah. I mean, there was a stretch probably, what, about 5 months where we were doing shows 6 nights a week?
Oh, my God, dude. It was insanity.
Yeah.
There was like that stretch of like October, November, and part of December where it was like Monday night, Tuesday night, cubicle to the cage, which there will be a reunion show, people. There will be a reunion show. And I want to give a big shout out to the homie Rick Doyle for his fight this weekend. And I know Rick was kind of disappointed in the outcome, but you know, he's just doing it all for the right reasons, man. He stepped in so a guy could have a fight. He'd been in fight camp for, stepped in on short notice, and at 43, 44 years old, man, tip your hat to the guy, man, and much respect to Rick Doyle, and obviously to the buddy Boyd Sharp, who cut weight with Rick.
That's cool. That's love for, you know, one of your boys, dude, for real. And speaking of cool things, guess what? Starting after Pancrase 257, they are going to a cage. It's official. I just got the little thing right now. They're also going to bump up the number of shows held a year. And they signed, and they signed partnerships with Team Wands, a.k.a. and Team Noguera, to start supplying fighters on a regular basis. And they just signed an exclusive deal. Obviously, everyone already knows the World Series of Fighting. So I believe that's part of the reason why they're going to a cage, is to be able to complete the contract on that part. But congratulations. I personally believe that this gives more validity to World Series of Fighting than World Series of Fighting gives to Pancrase by far. You know?
I'm just stoked for Gaethje Newell, dude.
Finally! Finally!
And I want, since I know Jeff McConnell's listening, I will make almost any bet you want to make. Almost any bet you want to make, man. I know you want Nick Newell, and I know you know people that are listening to this show. You guys tell him to please call in and accept the bet. Nick Newell versus Justin Gaethje. I got Gaethje all day long, baby.
Dude, if he would call in, I would make a bet that would make the fans salivate. I tell you right now.
It wouldn't be nice. This ain't no tattoo bet.
Oh, no. This would be like you shut your stuff down bet.
Yeah.
You know, I'd put it all on the table, man. I'd be like, let's do it, boy. But enough of him. Blah.
Yeah, we're about 15 minutes from calling Courtney, so. Let's talk about some fights that are going on this weekend, man. Legacy, dude. My guy, Tim Means. And I know you got Art in the show, dude. We may need to make a bet on this one, Skip.
Well, my own dude, and I'll be honest, folks. I've said it before, and I'll say it again right here. I said it a million times. My only concern is his cardio in round three. that's going to be what makes or break the fight for me. For me and his ability to win. If he comes in like last time, you know, in great shape and not gassing out hard in round three, the fight's his.
I think he definitely has a grappling advantage, and he'll need to utilize that. He doesn't want to strike with means.
No, and I mean, you know, let's be honest. You know, I know Means had the Costello decision loss, and was it Masvidal loss?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest, Danny is a tough, tough guy, gritty veteran. He's been around. He causes a lot of people trouble. He didn't get the win by, you know, finish. He got the wins via the card. That's, you know, so to me that's not a bad loss at that level. Neither is Masvidal. Masvidal is a beast, man. I mean, you know, and to go three rounds with him, you know, I agree that, you know, you really got to look. Because, man, I think it's going to end up with, you know, Young all over him like a blanket.
Oh. Hmm. Well, we're going to find out Friday night, man, on Axis TV, baby.
Dude, he's got
I have a feeling that fight goes the distance.
I do too. But that's my concern. It's the round three. If he blows out his cardio in round one and two, like he has done it a few times in the past, like when he lost to Eric Davola and I think it was Clifford Starks at like the last Sharp fight. He had round one and two, man, and then he gassed out and got beat up in round three. And I still don't understand why the judges gave it to him, but they did. And it might have been because, you know, he was fading in round two, and by round three, he was just getting outworked. But, I mean, you know, he's got wins over good guys like Elvis, you know. I mean, Matt Riddle.
Bush.
Yeah. And, dude, wow. You know, that's a whole iffy subject about the knee and all that stuff. But with Bubba, but Bubba's the champ right now. My question is, why is it Bubba, you know, first of all, Arnita fought Bubba, I believe, at like 170. But I don't understand why they don't have Bubba fighting. I haven't seen anything since he won the title. And he fought so hard to get that title.
I thought he got hurt. Groin or hamstring seems to ring a bell for some reason.
He's back training full time, doing seminars. I just saw him do a seminar down in South Texas. You know, I don't know. I mean, they're not even pushing him at their champ. They don't make any mention of him. I mean, I don't know. I think Bubba should be, you know, in the ring fighting. He's your champion. Yeah. When was the last time Bubba fought? Oh, they've got him listed as the main event on February 2nd. Oh, February 21st. So he is fighting. Dude, I have not seen anything promoting him fighting yet.
Because they're not pushing 28 until after 27. That's an interesting fight with Hakeem, too.
Yeah. Hakeem's a big boy. But I think Bubba's going to be able to out-wrestle him. Because his wins are KO, head kick, KO punches, TKO. His losses, split decision to Aaron Davis. Let's see. He's got a submission. Yeah, he's going to get ground and pound, man.
Hey, what do you think about the Samson Famabout and Angelo Garcia fight at Steel Fist?
Dude, Steel Fist never goes wrong, man. They always put on great fights. I think, is Steel Fist, yeah, VaporMania.com sponsored those events. Wow, how many fights do they got on this card? Is that like 18?
73.
50.
There's a ton of fights, bro.
Yeah.
Wow, look at this. Lightweight fighting versus Trevor Cook, Jude Marshall. Bam. Dude, you know, speaking of this weekend, Havoc FC, folks, Havoc Fighting Championships, HavocFC.com, Madhouse, MMAMadhouse.com, and WeireMakingSmoke.net. All those places will have links to watch this card this weekend for free. He has some great female matches. He has a lightweight and a middleweight or a welterweight title up for grabs that night. There are some good fights on that card, folks. I talked to him the other night, Jesse Fox, one of the owners. Dude, Ryan McCann, Brandon Tierney, check this out, folks. And if you're pros listening, he said it on the show. You go there to the contact page, contact him. Tell him you're a pro. Give him your record, your gym, and your name. He will contact you back. He said it's cheaper for him to fly guys in from Florida or Tucson or Texas or California or Oregon than it is to fly a guy in from Ontario.
Really?
Yeah, so he's flying pros in from all over the United States now because he says, I got a bigger pool and it's cheaper to fly them in. So he's taking applications for fighters at every weight class, and that's how Brandon Tierney got the fight. He's coming in from Tempe, Arizona. But the Mike Davis-Malcolm Gordon fight, I want to see Malcolm Gordon fight Alex Corrales. That's, dude, I think that's a fight right there. And I tried to sell it to him. He said, if he wins, he said, tell Alex to call him. You know? That's 125-pound fight. So flyweight title and welterweight title is up. And you got to love it, dude. Ryan McCann is one of the owners of this organization, and he's fighting on it for a title. And he's got a good record. You know, he's been around. He's 20-9.
Oh, I know, dude.
So I love that. I love the fact that, you know, he's willing to get on there and you know, and tear it up, man. That's great stuff.
Dude, that Brandon MacArthur fight, I like watching Brandon fight. He doesn't have a good record, but that guy just comes to bang, dude.
You know, that's what Jesse
said.
He's won
two of his last three.
Jesse says, he goes, I had people on the last fight telling me, are you dumb? This guy's, no, this is a waste. Why would you put him on your card? He goes, all those people love to eat crow because he put on one of the fight of the night.
Yeah, dude. He, like, Brandon MacArthur gets stuck fighting these fucking savages, bro. Like, just savages.
He's got a Sam Cecilia disease.
Yeah.
We're just kicking back waiting, folks, for Miss Courtney to join us. When she gets here, we'll stop blabbing about fights from around the world. By the way.
Dude, what about our girl Sarah Lagerstrom going down to Rochambeau, man, in Australia to fight for that pinweight title?
Dude, that was one of my picks. On the international segment last
week. Rochambeau?
Yep, was to pay attention to that fight. Havoc FC this weekend, as well as D-Spiral, volume number 2 in Japan, and something else in France. This weekend,
did you list,
man,
Soul FC? Did you list Soul FC?
I did list Soul FC on my Facebook page with their promotional flyer, but I did not on the show because I found out about it the day after I have to turn in my, which is tough, bro. You try finding fights international that are being promoted correctly 2 weeks, 3 weeks out. It's hard. You know, it's like, yeah, man, you know, it is because, I mean, obviously you have, you know, the basic organizations that are, you know, are the bigger
like
ones.
February 15th, we got XCWFC in Saskatchewan.
Yep.
We've got Deep in Tokyo.
Yep.
Rings in Tokyo.
You also got
Deep in Tokyo.
Road FC.
Eternal MMA.
Yeah, I know. Now, go 2 weeks from now. Okay.
That was just 2 weeks from now.
Start
that
looking
was all
at
on
like,
February 15th. Rings of Honorius. Belts of Honorius. Well, that's in Austin, but.
Yeah, that's in Austin.
It sounds like it's foreign. But these are all chosen few. You know?
Yeah.
Look, but not all these were up there 2 weeks ago.
World Series of Fighting Canada, February 21st. AFC 8, February 21st. NCFC 3, February 22nd, live from Bremen, Germany. Did you ever live around Bremen, Germany?
No, I
Thunderstrike Fight League 3 in Krasnik, Poland.
Yep. I already know about, I told him about Thunder
MMA
Fight
Challengers 9, Katowice, Poland. European MMA 8, Frederiksberg, Copenhagen, Denmark. Circuito Talent de MMA 6, Curitiba, Paraná, Brazil. Canadian Amateur MMA Championships, live from Quebec.
Yeah, that's going to be, I talked to Bill.
Honor Fight 3 from Saskatchewan. UCL 20 from British Columbia, live in Kamloops. Heat 30, Kobe, Japan. Sané versus Sujikawa.
Well, then, dude, why don't you start doing that shit every week?
Dude, I'll just give you the information, man, and you can do it, man. You're doing a good job, buddy. I'm proud of you.
I don't fucking like doing it.
You just gotta move. You just gotta move a little bit more often, besides your mouth.
Dude, it's just weird.
I feel like I'm watching one of those things where the guy moves the thing's mouth and it just talks. Ventriloquist dummy.
Dude, it's just. I really do enjoy the radio. I do. I feel comfortable doing it, but like I can't have cigarettes in my hands when I'm doing the show. They put parameters on how big of an area behind me, so I feel like I can't move around. I don't know, and like I have to look at myself on camera the whole time to make sure I'm centered, and I have to pay attention to the clock so that my segment's exactly how long it's supposed to be. Dude, I'm not gonna lie, dude. I cut probably 30 to 40 clips each week trying to get one right.
It's hard.
You know, and I mean, I guess I could just go on there and read off that list, but I'm trying to, like, not only find good cards for that I think fans would really enjoy, but also talk about them, you know, like, you know, starting on February, what is it, 3rd? February 4th, I'm sorry. You know, you have the 300 Sparta 66-kilogram Grand Prix going on, and I've got that as my header on my Facebook page. It's going to be a killer tournament. Dude, Paulo Filho is fighting Andre Munoz at Petetti Combat 19 for the middleweight title. And then, and I'm going to say this right because I practiced. And let me figure it out because I wrote it down. So I should make sure when I said it again, I didn't sound like a complete jackhole. But Pet Yin D is going to be at Lumpini Stadium this coming weekend of the 8th, February 8th, bro. 4 titles up in one night. It's good. I'm super pumped for that night. Plus Flawless Fighting Championships. And League of Warriors, they're putting on Greece versus Macedonia MMA event. Hey, you want to hear something funny? Dude, well, we got to – oh, never mind. Oh, is that her? No, that's not. That's no one important.
Dude, you're calling her. I just gave you the number, Bozo.
You didn't tell me that.
What do you mean I didn't tell you that, dude? I told you we're calling her at 8:20. It's not even 8:20 yet, man. It's just now turned 8:20. Simmer down, Charlie Chaplin. God, man. Sound like my ex-girlfriend.
Oh, why didn't you just call her and quit whining like a girl, making everybody else do your work? I ain't Matthew.
You're the board master tonight. I don't want to be that guy that steals your thunder, you know.
Go ahead, take it and play your little Dungeons and Dragons games, board master. What the?
The fact that you would even make a reference to Dungeons and Dragons blows my mind.
Are we calling her live, or do you want me to get her in queue?
Dude, that's your call, buddy. That's your call. I'll let you make that decision, Skip.
decision made.
Hello?
Hello, is this Courtney Casey?
This is her.
What's going on, killer?
Much. Just got done with sparring.
Nice. So, hey, better weather, Hawaii or Arizona?
Ooh. Right now, Arizona. It's been raining for the past about 4 days.
But it's still probably like 80 degrees, right?
It's actually cold. It's colder. It's a little bit cold. I don't know. I've lived in Arizona for so long. I kind of like the dry heat. But I will admit that it's nice to get that breeze at night and not be so hot at nighttime. That's nice. It's completely different. It's completely different. I do like the green here and the water. There's
a
lot of water.
Our listeners, they're probably wondering what green you're talking about.
There's plenty of all kinds of green here in Maui.
Are you dark enough to not be called a howley?
I don't know yet. No one's really called me it yet, so I think I'm pretty dark enough.
Figures. You're one of the lucky ones.
Yeah.
Skippy goes over there, and they don't even know his name. They just go howley.
Most people they do.
So the transition over there's been great. Everything's cool.
Yeah, you know, it's been great. You know, I thought it would be a little bit more difficult. You know, moving gyms and completely different lifestyle, but it's awesome over here. Everyone's real welcoming. The gym we moved to is Kendall Grove Gym, Unity Fight Lab. A lot of great guys fighting out of the gym. A lot of up and comers, and it's good to have a lot of guys my weight, more my weight to be able to spar with and train with. So it's been good. It's been really good.
That's awesome. Now, we haven't seen you in the cage. You got anything lined up yet, or are you guys still kind of playing the waiting game? I thought I'd see
still
your name
playing
on the Brazil card.
Yeah, still playing the waiting game right now. Just waiting for XFC to give me the call and let me know who I'm fighting. As of right now, I'm going in March for the tough tryouts, and you know, if I get something before that, then I do. But if not, then I have the tryouts, and we go from there.
Would you, if it boiled down to a rematch for the XFC title or the tough tryouts, which one would you pick?
Rematch, absolutely.
Just to shut Pearl up?
Yeah, you know, not really to shut her up. Maybe a little bit to shut her up, maybe a little bit. More just to get done with it, you know. It's just been back and forth. People call me a sore loser, people saying that I'm a whiner, that I complain the whole fight before the fight even started, during the fight, after the fight, you know, them saying what they want to say. But at the end of the day, I've been an athlete my whole life, never once complained about a loss. You can contact anyone from any promotion. You know, I'm pretty classy when it comes to that. And, you know, at the end of the day, I had brown tanning oil all over my shorts. So it is what it is.
On your shorts. I thought somebody spray painted your shorts with diarrhea.
Yeah, you know, and she claimed she spray tanned 3 days before. She's saying that I spray tanned, which is completely false. I live in Arizona. There's no need for me to spray tan. I walk outside and get brown.
I would kick your ass if you were spray tanning.
Yeah, no, there's no need for me to spray tan. Never want spray tan. Don't feel the need to spray tan, especially 3 days before or whatever. You know, call me a sore loser if you want to, but the facts are I had, you know, ample amount of tanning oil on me. So pictures show. I have pictures. If it wasn't nothing, then John Prisco wouldn't say, hey, you know, you need to go talk to the athletic commission. If John Prisco didn't think anything of it, he wouldn't have, you know, pointed me in the direction. He wouldn't have, you know, lined it up for me to go talk to them, and then they wouldn't have told me to file an appeal if it was nothing. You know, I never said I wanted to take the win away from her, never said that she didn't win, but at the same time, I didn't get to implement my game plan the way I needed to, and the facts show, the pictures show, my clothes show, everything shows that there was something on her. You know, whether they went up to her after the fight and touched her and she was dry, well, she was dry then. But during the fight, she definitely wasn't because something came off on me.
Yeah, I've never seen shorts change any other color but red before. And then when I saw yours that were brown, I thought there was some, like, Tim Sylvia thing happened to him.
Yeah, and the thing is when commission asked her if she tanned or did anything, she said no. And then they touched her, and she was fine, and that was it. But then afterwards, you know, oh, yeah, I tanned. I spent $79 on a tan or $89 on a tan. I tanned 3 days before, though. I spray tanned 3 days before. Well, obviously it wasn't long enough because it still came off onto my shorts. So.
Yeah. How frustrating is that? Because you have always shown the utmost respect to all of your opponents, no matter who it was or what was said, you know, leading into a fight. You've always been one of the most respectful and classy athletes we've had on the show. How kind of frustrating was that to hear, you know, people take those kind of jabs at you?
You know, it just kind of irritates me because people don't know who I am, you know. I'm still, you know, getting my name out there, and for people to think that I'm a whiner, I'm a complainer because of what her camp's saying and everything like that, you know, it does suck. But at the same time, you know, the last thing I wanted to is to happen to someone else. So, you know, I decided to move on with the appeal and just make it known that, you know, it could be a problem. It could be a problem down the line for other fighters, and I don't want it to be a problem. I don't ever want, you know, someone to lose a fight because of you know, something that I could have prevented by, you know, voicing my opinion on it or you know, making a stand on something. So, you know, Luda Lee and my manager, Mercedes White, said, you know what, you need to make your appeal and stand by it. And I have. And them saying that it didn't go anywhere because there wasn't anything there, it's not that it didn't go anywhere. It's the fact that it's an athletic commission. It takes 6 months to 8 months for it to even go to appeal, and then I'd have to go to an appeals court. That wasn't my plan. My plan was just to let, you know, the boxing commission know that this could be a problem, and if they wanted to fix it, you know, they should fix it. If not, then, oh, well, at least I tried.
Yeah, I can't imagine the amount of frustration when people, you know, that don't know you would say stuff like that. Because if they take the time to get to talk to you, they'd know that that's not your personality. That's not how you represent yourself or the sport at all.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I've been an athlete my whole life. I've lost tons of times, whether it's soccer games or you know, in the cage or whatnot, you know. You lose in life, you bounce back. But it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to take it in when, you know, you lost, but in the way that you lost and in the way that the person won kind of sucks, you know, when it could have been avoided and it could have been a fair fight. And, you know, people say, you know, oh, you lost the fight due to an armbar. Yeah, I lost the fight due to an armbar, but she also got out of ample amount of submission attempts that I had that she didn't really get out. She didn't use a technique to get out of. She slipped out of. You go back and watch it, she didn't use a technique to get out of. She just kind of slowly slipped out of things. Well, that's probably what ended up on my shorts.
Here's the question for me. I'm not a girl. I know getting kicked in my groin hurts like a son of a bitch. Can you explain so that the listeners will understand what that is like for you women?
Think of it as cracking shins with someone, shin on shin. It's a bone. Like you have a bone. You can't condition your pelvis bone. Like it's not something you condition. So it's just a bone. It's a sensitive bone. So if you get kneed there or kicked there, it hurts. You know, it's bone on bone. So I got kneed in the groin, which fine, you know, if they don't stop it. Would I like the time to recover? Yeah. Was I mad that she stepped off and gave me time? No. I was happy that she gave me that respect, and I didn't complain about the groin strike. But it did happen, and again, you know, it doesn't happen often in girls' fights. You know, should have got the 5 minutes like any other fighter. Didn't happen, but she did back off, so I'm not mad about that. I never complained about the groin strike. But I got hit in the groin. And he even saw it. So, and he even said that he missed it, and I should have got my time. But she was in the way and didn't know that I got hit, and it happens. But it hurts. At the end of the day, it hurts.
Yeah, I would imagine it's just like, you know, it can't feel any better for a girl to get kicked in the groin than it does a guy.
And, you know, I talked to a lot of referees shortly after that had happened, because what the referee had originally said was that it wasn't a thing for – it was only a rest period for men. And that was like – I was like – when I heard that, I, like, called guys I knew that had reffed in the UFC and was like – I was like, hold on a second. I was like, when did the groin strike thing become only a male thing? And they're like, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, it just went down in this fight at XFC. And they're like, no, it's gender – it's not gender specific. It's, you know, if you get – struck in the groin, you get a recovery period.
Yeah, I got struck in the groin in my Rachel Cummins fight for Tough Enough, and I got time to recover. So, I mean, if they're doing it in the amateurs, they should be doing it in the pros as well. And nothing on the XFC's referees, because from his angle, he didn't see me get groin because he was standing behind Pearl. So.
Enough of that, man. So tough tryouts, that means that you're going 115. So is the Hawaiian food helping with the cut or hindering the cut?
To be honest, I think it's helping a little bit. It's very clean eating out here. A lot of fish, rice, vegetables. A lot of their stuff's all organic or locally grown. So I think it's helping a lot. And then also the fact that it's humid. I sweat so much out here. Like, I leave practice and I'm drenched, like just drenched in sweat. So it's definitely helping, I think, a little bit. And then just being able to enjoy the different activities that are offered here with swimming and hiking and stuff like that, just being able to be outside all the time and not die of a heat stroke is good.
Yeah, I bet, man. It's always nice having, like, that built-in sauna in your environment with the high humidity. That was kind of, like, the
yeah,
nice
absolutely.
Thing about it also is, like, you always walk, like, 10 to 12 pounds lighter than where you would normally be in, like, a non-humid area. And you don't even have to work out to, like, keep that weight off because it's just coming off with whether you like it or not.
Yeah, it's just coming off. I'm like, when the first practice, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, I was just, and it was a gi day, and I was just drenched. And I was like, there's no way I can do this. Like, I don't like being, like, sticky and gross and having other guys sweat on me. Like, it was just nasty. You know, like, oh, my gosh, I got to get used to, like, this every single day. So.
Was that the hardest part of the transition in training? Was it that humidity and that temperature factor? Being so different than Arizona?
Yeah, I don't think it's really like other than the sweat, other people's sweat. Other people's sweat on me has been the worst part of training. Other than that, like, it hasn't really affected my breathing or anything like that. To be honest, I think it's helped because it's not so dry. But just that anxiety I get when people are sweating on me just grosses me out.
I think you just had a girl moment on the radio with us.
Sorry, I'm really sorry, but it really does gross me out. Like, when someone's on top and they're just dripping sweat on you, it's, like, disgusting. They're like, oh, sorry, and they wipe their brow, and then it does nothing but just drip more, and you're like, this is disgusting.
I know, like, it's not the arm bars or the, you know, the heel hooks that so much bug me when I'm rolling. It is always the like, I'm like, I hope this guy showered today. I just hope you showered today before we roll. You know, like, that's, like, I think that there should be, like, some kind of a policy to make sure everybody showers before they put on their gi and step on the mat.
Just that's how we. If you have a stinky gi, we'll tell you, dude, you can't roll today. Your gi's stinky. It's nasty. You need to wash it. Oh, okay, dude, you smell. Like, I'm not rolling with you. Like, everyone's pretty good about it. So, a lot of guys come from work. They go straight shower and then they come. So everyone's pretty good about it. But you know, you do get some of those guys that just didn't wash. Oh, I forgot to wash my gi, and you're like, what? You're like, that stinks. And then there's those guys that don't wash their gi, and it doesn't stink. So it just depends on the person. But, yeah, we definitely have some of those guys who are like, I'm not rolling with you today.
How much is the ocean and the beach playing into your cardio training nowadays?
Right now, it hasn't played a very big part. I've gone to the beach, like, 4 times since I've been here. I think it's because it's right there that, like, I see it every day, I drive by it every day, that I'm not like, oh, let's go to the beach. But the times that we did go, you know, did some sprints and some work on the beach and stuff. So I know, you know, it's available, and there's a lot that we can do when it does come camp time and stuff like that to implement that into my training. But right now, it's just I'm just enjoying it when and relaxing and just kind of taking it and still kind of being a vacation spot right now, going to the beach, still being vacation, not using it as a training thing where I hate going to the beach.
What was, like, the first thing you did? You moved to Hawaii. What was the first thing that you did just that Courtney wanted to go look at or go do that wasn't fight-related?
To be honest, we went and ate food. That was the first thing I wanted to do. I was like, I want to eat the most authentic Hawaiian food we can find, and it was amazing.
So you went to the grocery store, got a can of Spam and some white rice, and then went home and cooked it?
Yeah, and had some Spam to be. Yeah, exactly.
Is it weird seeing Spam on menus over there yet?
No. I'm Puerto Rican and Mexican, and my grandfather, being Puerto Rican, he used to cook Spam all the time. He was also in the military, so they used that all the time. So Spam, I ate it as a kid growing up, and in eggs and stuff. So it's not weird to me.
Yeah, me neither. See, my dad.
Do I like eating it? Do I choose it? No, but if it's there and that's the only thing, you're like, all right, I'll just eat some Spam.
Have you had a good Moco Loco yet? Or Loco Moco or whatever the hell it is?
Oh, a Loco Moco? Yeah, absolutely. There's a place actually right down
the
gym from us.
Gravy, right? Yeah.
Hamburger patty gravy over rice with a egg? Yeah, delicious.
Fried up egg, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, I bet the sushi would be great for you when you're trying to cut weight. It'll just be flying off of all that fish you'll be able to eat. Are you going to pick up fishing?
We're actually going fishing this weekend.
Nice.
So, but it's funny because there's a mall right by where we live, and we're like, oh, let's try out this. They have like a roundabout sushi place, and everyone's like, don't go there. It's gross. Like, it's not good sushi. We're like, okay. Well, we ended up going there because we got out of a movie and we went there, and it's delicious. We're like, it's probably bad to them, but to Arizona sushi, it's like amazing. Like, it's still like really, really fresh, but to them, it's not good. So
you're like, oh, that's the low end. You're like, we're used to them pulling fish for sushi out of the canal, so we don't mind this about sushi at all.
Yeah, not at all. This is high dollar sushi right here. So there's definitely some perks.
So what do you think about the 115 class? Is that something that you've really been looking forward to, or you know, is that kind of just something that popped up when this opportunity arose?
No, it's definitely something that we've been thinking of. My camp's been thinking of for a while now. Like I said, I don't walk around very heavy. You know, all my previous interviews, everyone's always asked about my weight cut. You know, my weight cut's pretty simple. Just clean up my diet, really, and I can still lift really heavy and do everything like that because I don't walk around that heavy. It's hard for me to walk around that heavy because of my Crohn's disease, but other than that, you know, I think the 115-pound weight class, if I can make that weight healthy, then will be great for me. If not, you know, I think I'm doing just fine at 125.
Oh, most definitely. Well, who are some of the matchups maybe you would like to see yourself have at 115 if you got in?
Well, I heard Pearl might be going down to 115, so that would be a good one. If not, then
fight to get in the house. Fight to get in the house. Courtney Casey versus Pearl Gonzalez. Let's make it happen.
Other than that, you know, anyone will be great. I know Joe Clark is trying out. Not that I want to fight her, but I think she's has a lot of potential in that weight class. You know, a lot of girls. Dana picked a great weight class to bring in because everyone in that weight class is pretty much on fire. They got all the girls from the Invicta, Emily Kagan, who I fought, who's a great competitor and a great person. She's already in the house, so, you know, fighting, being on the show with her would be great and stuff like that. But I really don't know who's going and trying out, so who I'd actually have to compete against to get into the house. But I know the girls that are already on the show are great competitors, and I would just love to, you know, to be a part of it. But if not, like I said, you know, XFC is still my home, and I have some fights still left with them, and maybe I do drop down to 115 and fight in their 115-pound weight class.
I wouldn't mind seeing you in an Egg Inc. fight.
She's feisty, and she's long for a 115-er. She has a long reach, real tall. She fights real tall, and You know, she's an all-around fighter. She's great. She's a great champion at 115. You know, and big things from her. And if she doesn't, I don't know what her plans are for the weight class either. So if I get the chance to fight her, I'd like to fight her as well. But like I said, you know, just wait for the call from XFC and go from there.
Now, how's the BJJ game in Hawaii?
Nasty. It's nasty. So many grinders. All the guys have it's a vacation spot for a lot of guys, for a lot of big-name competitors in BJJ. So they come here and they do clinics. So all these guys have had the top trainers coming in and doing, you know, week seminars and, you know, three-day clinics and stuff like that. So their jiu-jitsu is good, very good. But at the same time, they scramble. They're really, really big on scrambling. So it's definitely up my game, my jiu-jitsu game a lot. And just, again, to have a lot of lighter guys and a lot of high belts in and out of the gym is great. We have maybe like 5 white belts, and the rest are all blue and above. We have a couple brown belts, a lot of high purple belts. So it's definitely been great. A lot of talent on the island for sure.
Did you notice like a real style difference between you were bouncing back between Tucson, Phoenix, and Vegas a lot, and now do you notice like maybe a style difference in the BJJ they play over there compared to what you were doing, and that could only help enhance your game because you'll already have those, you know, tricks and tools you learned here on the mainland, and then to be able to incorporate like a whole new style. Well, I understand it's still BJJ, but you know, I mean, I think you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think absolutely it's their scrambles. When they get into positions, they scramble out. They kind of have that wrestling mentality when it comes to position. You know, they scramble real hard, and then they get real heavy. And then they scramble, and they get real heavy. We're more in Arizona. They flow a lot. It's a lot of flowing and then getting positions and flowing. We're here, you know, the guys go. It's a fight. It's a fight. It's controlled. Don't get me wrong. It's very controlled. But it's high-paced rolling.
Do you like that more?
I do and I don't. You know, sometimes I do like to just, we call it play, where you just go and you play. Work for submissions, roll out of submissions. You don't really try to tap someone. You just get to the submission and move on. You just kind of flow and you have these, you know, 20-minute rolling sessions. No one gets tapped,
yeah.
But you're aware of where you could have got tapped. And then also here, you know, just that pressure, just constant grind, you know, that's what happens when you get in a fight, you know, it's not going to be, you're not going to be able to play, you got to grind. And so I think it's good. I think it's definitely, there's a balance there, you know, that I needed, and I'm happy to definitely be a part of Unity Fight Lab and all the, with all the guys out here, and definitely, you know, getting, some tips here and there from Kendall and all the other coaches. So it's definitely good.
Yeah, flow rolling is so much fun. Like, when you can, like, if you have somebody that you're, like, match up well with, they can be, like, one of the funnest things that you could ever do.
Yeah, you'll go 20 minutes and not even know it. And,
yeah.
And you're like, holy crap. But, yeah, definitely,
like,
I like
those
rolls. You're
all over the gym. You're all over the
yeah.
gym. Like, all of a sudden, you're like, how the hell did we get over here? You don't even know what's going on. You're, like, up somebody else's ass. You're like, sorry about that. We got to move this way,
yeah.
buddy.
Yeah. Yep, it's definitely exciting.
That's great, man. It sounds like everything is going super awesome for you out there in Hawaii, and we're stoked to either see you know on the Ultimate Fighter tryouts or at least back in the XFC cage. Hopefully, John Boy, let's make it happen, man. Egg Inc. KC, 115-pound strap. Let's get her done. After you claim the 125-pound strap from Pearl.
Yeah, that'd be good. I like the 125-pound strap. I'm not trying to call it Egg Inc. I think she's a great champion at 115. Like I said, again, it's not something that I want to jump in and call someone out. You know, I think I got to also earn my spot at the 115. So, you know, maybe fight someone else in the 115 division and work my way up. If not, then, you know, I'm always down to fight Pearl. So whatever
yeah,
they give me, I'm happy with.
Sometimes I have a bad habit of just, like, throwing fights I really want to see out there. And then, like, I'll focus on that one fight until it happens.
That one fight. Well, send some juju over that way.
You got it. I'll focus on the 125-pound rematch for you.
Yeah.
Now,
that's
I do have a question because I heard a lot of talk last fall
about you were going to finally get a s'mores pizza, and I'm still wondering if you ever got the s'mores pizza.
I got the s'mores pizza before my fight. That's how good my weight cut was. My weight cut was that good that I got s'mores pizza before my fight. It was amazing. Mercedes did a great job of making the s'mores pizza. I think I only got one slice before Anthony devoured it. I think Laser Lenny was over as well, and I think he ate pretty much the other half. So, but yeah, it was very good. S'mores pizza, amazing. If you can have Mercedes White make it, it's probably better because she makes it with a lot of love. But yeah, s'mores pizza, definitely good.
How does Burchak stay in 135? Because all I ever hear this guy doing is shoving like 3 or 4 pounds of pot roast down his mouth, half of a s'mores pizza. He's always sipping on beer. I mean, does he like
Let me break it down for you. I'll break it down for you. Burchak eats, and then he's in the bathroom. He trains half the time. Then he'll go in the bathroom and training. Then he drinks, and he's in the bathroom. So I think he just gets
he's
rid of
bulimic.
All of it. He just scarfs himself to make himself sick, and then he just lets it all out, and then he starts over again. But if that guy didn't go, he's in the bathroom half the time. I would probably say half the day he's probably in the bathroom. And then other than that, then he's training. So I think that's how he balances it out.
Oh, if Anthony and Mercedes came to Hawaii, would you let them stay at your house, or would you have them stay somewhere else because you're afraid of what he may do to your bathroom?
We only have one bathroom, so I'll probably make them stay somewhere else because it's a very small bathroom, and it's a very small cottage that we live in, and I've seen and smelled Burchak's bathroom experiences. And been Snapchatted, and then I just don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to, not in that close quarters. If we had a bigger house, and they could definitely in another bathroom, they would absolutely stay with us. But Burchak, I don't know what goes on in his body, but it's not normal.
Now, were you using the link,
and if
the
he passed it on, let me tell you, he passed it on to his son, Jet, babysitted Jet. Jet has bad poop. Got it from his dad. I'm claiming he got it from his dad. The kid eats and he just destroys his diaper.
Well, as long as, you know, he got his looks from his mom and his stomach from his dad,
yeah.
That's, you know, a lot better than the other way around.
Yeah.
He could have been stuck with Anthony's looks. I'd much rather be stuck with his flatulence or whatever than his looks. Now, anything you miss in Arizona?
My family, my nephew. I definitely missing them. You know, my coworkers over at Lockdown Clothing, huge part of you know, as support and also as friends down there at Lockdown Clothing. Other than that, you know, it's just a plane right away, so I can go back and visit, and you know, planning on going back soon to spend some time with my nephew during summer break and stuff like that. So it's not too bad. Just definitely a little homesick here and there when it comes to enjoying family time, because out here in Maui, everything's very, very family oriented. So it's sometimes it just kind of gets to you when you always go into other people's houses for family things. You see all the kids and how close everyone is, and then, you know, not being able to be with your family. But at the same time, you know, we're making a lot of friends out here, and again, you know, expanding our family with all the people out here. So it is nice.
You and your nephew have a really interesting, very unique relationship, and you guys are super close. Can you maybe talk about that?
My sister, she had a pretty rough pregnancy with my nephew. She almost lost him twice because he had heart problems. But she had a high-risk pregnancy. She had to take a lot of heart medicine and stuff like that to help him. So I think just the bond that me and my sister got closer throughout her pregnancy, and then also, you know, when he was actually, you know, brought into the world and stuff like that, and him being healthy and you know, above average on everything, you know, was a relief to us. And he was definitely the first grandson, so he got a little bit spoiled, and he's my first nephew, so... you know, it's just, we're very close. We've always been close. A lot of people say that, you know, he's my son because he acts more like me, and stuff like that. I think it's just his friend, but yet his aunt at the same time. You know, him and his mom are very close. My sister was pretty much a single mom most of the time, and now she has a wonderful husband and a great father figure for Aiden. And his father also has been a great father, but he was a long truck hauler, so my sister pretty much raised him on her own. But other than that, you know, just being with him and helping out my sister when she needed it, you know, picking up from school and taking him to practices and taking him to karate and, you know, just spending time with him on weekends whenever I could, it just really had that bond from the beginning. And he's very athletic and, you know, we push him really hard and he's a great kid. So super cool, and he has a very quirky attitude and demeanor about him. So we just get along. We just get along perfectly. And, you know, it's been hard, like, not being able to be there with him going back to school and finishing out Christmas break and, you know, all through summer when we go to the lake and to the river and to, you know, Sunsplash and all those places. But he's going to definitely come out. Like, that's the first thing he said. He's like, so I get to move to Maui with you? And I'm like, no, you don't get to move to Maui, but you can come visit. And he's like, awesome. He's like, I'll be there during summer, all of summer. And I was like, well, no, you got to be with mom for a little bit, and then you're going to go with dad, and then you'll probably come see me. And he's like, okay, so where's Maui? Like, no clue. Just wanted to be make sure he was able to come. So it was definitely hard when I left. It was definitely hard when I left because I was moving my stuff, and he was helping me grab my bags, and I think it finally hit him. And he's like, you're leaving, like, tomorrow? And I'm like, no, I'm leaving next week. He's like, you're not going to be here for Christmas? And I was like, no, I'll be here for Christmas. Like, it just hit him all of a sudden. He just started crying and, I don't want you to leave. But he got past that, and he got – my sister got him the iPod 5 color, so it has, like, Skype on it and, like, Instant
Oh, nice.
Messenger and all that stuff. So, yeah, so we Skype back and forth, and he'll send me text messages and stuff like that throughout the day. But he recently got that taken away because he got in trouble at school, so I haven't been able to Skype him. But other than that, I still get to call him. And then, of course, he got an Instagram, and he has his Facebook page and stuff like that. So we definitely keep in touch. But he's an awesome kid. Definitely happy to have him in my life. So excited.
Yeah, I can always tell that.
Part of the family.
I can always tell that. And I think, you know, from his point of view, he's probably just like, dude, my aunt is a professional cage fighter.
That's how he introduces
me. Awesome.
I went to a school to pick him up from school, and they're like, oh, Courtney Cast Iron Casey. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, that's your name. And I'm like, no, my name's just Courtney Casey. Aiden calls me Courtney Cast Iron Casey. That's how he, this is my aunt, Courtney Cast Iron Casey. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, so embarrassing. And he has all my belts. Like, he's like, can I have your belt? And I'm like, yeah, you can have my belt. And he's like, can I have your Naga belt? And I'm like, sure, you can have it. So he has all my belts and all my stuff in his room and all that stuff. And then he puts all of his BMX, he races BMX, he has all his BMX trophies up there as well. So he likes having his little shrine of all of his trophies. And it's cool. He's definitely a cool kid.
Matt, you mentioned he was doing karate. Was he also, did he roll much, or?
He did. He did roll a little bit over at the gym that I was with. But he was, my mom already enrolled him in karate. So she, like, my mom's all about saving money. So they sold her on the two-year contract. She pretty much gets a year free kind of thing. So he was signed up for 2 years over there, and she's like, he already committed over here, so he has to do karate. And he's like, I want to grapple. But he likes karate. He does like karate because he gets all the belts. Like, every 3 weeks you're getting a stripe or a belt or something. So it's exciting for him.
Let's not talk about that. So I interviewed Mary.
Yeah, we
won't. She's a five-time world champion, right?
Uh-huh.
In Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So we were talking. I was interviewing her the other night, and I was like, I've got my one stripe white belt. I was like, what advice would you give me? And she's like, well, how long have you been rolling? And I was like, 6 months? And so she started laughing, and I was like, what's so funny? I was like, how long did it take you to get off your white belt? And she was like, oh, 3 months. I was done with the white belt. I was like, oh, thanks.
how she was in the gym all day long, three times a day, probably.
The first thing they should teach you is to tap.
Yep,
that's first thing we teach our students is to tap.
That's funny. That's funny.
Well, hey, Courtney, we appreciate you joining us tonight. Do you want to give a shout-out to all your sponsors or to the ones that we plan on acquiring?
Yeah, absolutely. I have amazing sponsors that have been with me this whole time, so I'm excited to have them. Kimorware, Mentum Eyewear, Soapalicious, who keeps me definitely clean now that I'm sweating a lot at the gym. Clench Mouth Guards, Meyerbrand Swag, Lockdown Clothing, Nutrazuma, of course, Luda Lee, Kendall Grove, my husband, Edward Sanchez, and Unity Fight Lab, where my new home is. And other than that, you guys, for having me on the show and, you know, always sending me positive vibes, so I appreciate that. And definitely all my my fans and all my supporters out there, I thank you as well.
Courtney, we always got love for you, and we love watching you fight. And as great of a fighter as you are, I hope that everybody learned tonight just how much of a better person you are.
Thank you, as do I.
Awesome. Well, hey, go enjoy that that sunset, or it may have already happened there, but enjoy that Hawaiian weather for me.
I will. I definitely will.
And if I make it over there, I better get some roll time in.
Oh, absolutely. You guys have a home over here at Unity Fight Lab whenever you guys come by.
Awesome. Thanks, Courtney. Have a great night. Tell everybody we said hey.
All right.
Oh, Mr. LaPaca, great interview.
Casey.
Great interview.
I love that
and,
girl.
Hey, before we go off live, off of air, I got to give a shout-out. Hey, to Ms. Helen LaCora, in labor, still working on the card, in the hospital, mad love girl. That's giving it out to MMA like nobody's business.
Helen rules.
Hey, and by the way, dude, I'm seeing all this. Dude, Dana White is bashing Rick Little's gym, saying that it's his fault that he hurt. And, I mean, they're saying – I've seen anywhere from 16 to 18 months that she's out of fighting.
Yeah, dude, you blow your knee up like that, you're SOL.
Dude, there's some people saying she's not going to fight again.
That's kind of the first thing that I thought when I read the article. I thought immediately career over.
Dude, and what's insane is like, her. I mean, I none of us are ever going to know the true story until she comes out and tells it. But I want to know what's going on in that gym for a girl during training, during fight camp to rip her knee that bad. Was it purely an accident or did she have
I think it was a freak accident. From what I understand, it was a real freak accident.
Well, I can't wait to hear her side because it seems like Dana's bashing the gym, and I want to know, does he have a leg to stand on, or is this just Dana making publicity and sticking his nose into shit again like he did with Roy Nelson? And that's just distasteful and disgusting for him to bash Roy Nelson because he wants to better the sport and make a career away from fighting. That's just,
yeah,
okay.
It's very, 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 very sickening to see something like that happen, you know. I mean, Julie's awesome. She's fun to talk to, man. She's always been such a positive person. And, you know, I hope that she, you know, keeps that positivity moving forward. And, you know, I mean, I think a prime example, you know, that nothing is impossible to come back from is, you know, Sam Selander. And he's shown that, you know, from near death. I mean, I'll never forget that call on Halloween, October 2012, with his mom in the ambulance, man. I'll never forget that. And, you know, so anything's possible. Julie, keep your head up, and we're all looking forward to the day you step back in the cage.
And on that note, I'm going to say Eagle.
Osprey.
MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Draco Impact Armor, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and Jax Media.